This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batcher, visiting with Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He has wide experience in the Soviet Union and the Russian Federation. And I mentioned the Russian Federation is now engaged in diplomatic fencing with NATO. NATO includes the U.S., but it also includes members who know their politics are, at this point, undecided. I mentioned Germany most of all. Friedrich Merz, the chancellor of all the Germans, was in attendance at the White House, made remarks afterwards that consisted of saying there must be a ceasefire before we can proceed to negotiate the end of the conflict. A ceasefire that at least nominally has been ruled out by Mr. Putin and Mr. Trump. However, I mentioned Germany because of the rise of a party, Alternative for Deutschland, AfD, that now holds more than 200 seats in the Bundestag and is widely expected to be the next government in some fashion. AfD is anti-immigrant, anti-EU, anti-NATO, anti-US, anti-anything to do with capitalism. All that. It is a homegrown, very, very rejectionist culture, and it grows. And without Germany at that table on Monday, I don't know that it comes to anything. Cliff, we could mention National Rally in France. We could mention the reform in Britain. Certainly the Brotherhood is in control in Italy, although Giorgia Meloni is worthwhile. But still, there are voices in the Brotherhood who want to reject the Ukraine war. We could go on, but those are the big ones. There's a saying in Asia, you know it very well, we've got the time, they've got the watch. Is that what Russia's playing here? Is this a long game, knowing that it's coming their way?
It is a long game, although I would also say that Putin is an old man in a hurry, that he's thinking of his legacy. He's thinking of his mission. And again, it's his mission is to restore the Russian Empire. He doesn't need the land so much. He could use the people. The demography of Russia is dreadful. They're not reproducing. You have Central Asians who are not ethnic Russians coming into Moscow and Petersburg. He'd like to have 40 million more Russians, and Ukraine would make the most sense for him to get those. And by the way, we now know they are spectacularly good fighters, the Ukrainians. If Putin had control of them, he would, I think, put a bayonet in the backs of a lot of those soldiers and say, you're now to march west. Won't be too hard for you. Take Moldova. Moldova is low-hanging fruit for that. Don't forget that Belarus is theoretically independent, but it's a vassal state of Russia at this point. And this is important. When Putin thinks of himself as the czar of all the Russias, commissar of all the Russias, that means Russia proper, Belarus, White Russia, and Ukraine, frontier Russia. That's really what those words mean. And he wants all that. Lots more that he would like to have. Look, just to be not to be too pessimistic, a lot of what Putin has tried to do has failed. He has wanted for years to divide the U.S. from Europe. What we saw at the White House recently were key leaders of Europe sitting down together in total unity with Trump. We'll see what that results in, but they were united. He, in 1939, as you know, the Soviet Union tried to pull Finland back into its empire the way they're trying to pull Ukraine in. They got about 10% of the land, but they failed. And now Finland is what? A member of NATO. And the Finnish president, prime minister, I forget, was there in the White House. That was a very important bit, another important bit, at least of symbolism. So not everything is going well. But I don't, you know, I think rejecting a ceasefire, not a good idea, because negotiations are going to be very long and tough. I don't see a comprehensive plan. What I do see is Putin demanding all sorts of things that would set Ukraine up for a kill shot later. And when I say later, and this gets back to your question about the long term, I think Putin would rather not leave that to a successor. I think he'd like to do that himself.
You mentioned Finland, yes, but I counter Georgia. I counter Transnistria.
Yes, yes.
I counter, how about this, 1807, Napoleon and Alexander I meet at a raft in the Niemen River, which is Lithuania, draining into Kaliningrad. You go for the Russian speakers, you're taking many more than 40 million people back into your orbit.
Yes, you're right. I remember that well. No, and in terms of Georgia, well, let's keep in mind, this war has been going on for a while. In 2008, Putin's forces went to Georgia. They stripped two territories away from Georgia, Abkhazia, South Ossetia. And right now there's the party that rules in Georgia in the capital of Tbilisi is a pro-Russian party. It's run by a billionaire, Ivanishvili, who made his money in Russia. And Ukraine is being pulled back into the orbit, as you say. By the way, by contrast, Armenia is pulling away a bit, and so is Azerbaijan. Their peace agreement that Trump managed was partly, I think, partly reflected that both countries' desire to stay independent of Russia and independent of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which, again, is Putin's close ally, along with communist China and communist North Korea.
All right. Rather than resolve this, can we can we agree to say that Russia is not to be trusted?
Yes, I think that's very clear. And that gets back to what you're saying about the START Treaty and all that. Putin lies on everything he commits to. This should not be seen as carrots being held out to us of any value. They're rotten carrots at best.
And your measure right now of the Trump administration, it is sophisticated to understand that peace requires a long time. Are they prepared for a five-year timeline? That was the Paris peace talks of January 68 to winter 73. Is anybody in Washington noting this could take years?
I think there are those noting that. I think there are those advising Trump. Trump would like to see a very quick peace agreement of some kind. He would be able to say, and this is, look how I've made peace between Cambodia and Thailand, between India and Pakistan, between Azerbaijan and Armenia, and now, most importantly, between Russia and Ukraine. But I don't think that one's coming.
Cliff May, the president and founder of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing about the symbolism at Anchorage in his Washington Times column.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,